Now let's take a look at these numbers in more depth with Jackie Vake. She's from Stuart Peterson, joins us this morning. Good morning to you, Jackie. Thanks for being on the line today.
Yeah, good morning, Todd. How are you today?
Oh, I'm very, very good. I just saw those numbers from the CME Group livestock side. What's in that marketplace that's making it move so sharply lower today?
Well, you know, I think it's somewhat of a follow-through situation from the standpoint that, you know, we just haven't had much cash activity. There's a lot of fear that, you know, your wholesaler is backing off, especially on the beef side of things, you know, and saying, you know, we just can't move this expensive beef. We can't justify it. When you looked at the cold storage report, take it for what it's worth. You know, those were the highest levels that we've seen in storage since they started in 1915, keeping track of what was going on for the month of September. And so, you know, that makes for a very uneasy market. So I think this is much more of a trading range type market at the moment. Money in, money out. On the, you know, on the hog side, hogs are heavily oversold. And, you know, there's still a huge difference between the feeder cattle index and where the feeder cattle futures are. But that doesn't make any difference, you know, in that respect. You know, it's a cash and it's a non-deliverable market. So December cattle, not a surprise. You know, they're just, the offerings are at 145. You know, you get the futures at 137. It's just a battle of wills, basically, in the bigger picture when you are in a situation where, and the U.S. dollar climbing doesn't help us any. You know, we're close to 98 on the U.S. dollar. That would imply that it'll be tougher to export more meat. So they've got a lot of things. But I think it's money flow, and it's more of a range-bound situation. The last five sessions have basically on hogs have been in the same area. You know, you look at the cattle, and we have just tanked, and that's because cutouts were down. You know, so it's a good reason to do it, right?
That indeed
is. We all know about go ahead.
No. We all know about algorithms. You started about in on the black boxes.
That's what I was going to say. Yep, we all know about the black box trading, you know, and basically, it can push it into stops, and stops multiply things. And when you've had four steady days down or five steady days down, you also have that great issue called margin, you know, and suddenly people start to throw their hands up in the air. So I think that that's a lot of what that market is suffering at the moment.
You talked about a battle of wills on the livestock side. There's a similar battle, I suppose, between the cash market and the futures market on the grain side. For both corn and soybeans, in particular for corn in those deficit areas of the eastern corn belt, who's going to win out in that process?
Let's put it this way, okay? I'm sure you saw this, but Juan Luciano from ADM said right now that the farmers one-third slower selling corn than they are normal. They've got about 30% sold rather than 45% sold. Anytime I hear those kinds of numbers, unless you're willing to protect the futures price, because I do think that basis is going to be the driver, and I know that for a fact in the Eastern Belt because I had a guy who sold some at 15 over and the next day was 30 over, and so we just put some puts in place at the price he could have received that day, cash price he could have received that day, and he's waiting for more appreciation and basis, and I think that that's going to come along. But, you know, when you've got the futures going down, even if your basis is going up, you're still losing. So seldom do I think that unless you're going to take steps to manage that risk, you're going to come out big time ahead, especially when you're looking at some of the other things that are happening in the marketplace. You know, we've got the USDA report next week. Expectations are that we're probably going to see a higher yield and maybe a slightly higher production number. Wow. You know, even on less harvested acres. And so, you know, that's that doesn't help us any. Let's just put it that way. So when you ask me who's going to win, if I were a betting person, and I'm not, I'd probably be betting on the commercial side. But I'd bet on the guy who's going to win is the one who manages his risk. That's the way it is.
What is it? I almost hate to ask this question, but why do you think ADM made an announcement about what the cash side was sold like?
Well, I would imagine that's probably, I'm not to say that I think it was not in their own best interest, but I think what they're more or less saying is, you know, beans are 35% sold compared to 60% sold for normal over the last 5 years. You know, I think it's difficult for them to source this, and I think what they're doing is, this is what I would consider, at least when I read it, was a shot across the bow. In other words, hey, boys, wake up. You either start to make some sales here on these better basis numbers, and or we are going to find a way to source grain from somewhere outside the United States. And it's available right now. Right. You know, it's cheap right now. And so I just think that's why it was said. It's a good question.
Laid the groundwork for an import.
Huh. Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
If end users can't find it and folks aren't willing to sell it, we'll see how it works. We'll see how it works.
Yeah, you bet.
It'll be interesting to watch.
Well, it is interesting to watch. And what's really tough is, you know, that we haven't seen the depreciation in input costs that we would like to have seen. We haven't seen the depreciation in rent costs that we would like to see. And, you know, there's so much hope in the countryside. And hope is what keeps us going as farmers. There's no question about that. Every year we hope we're going to have a great crop. But, you know, hope's not a strategy. It doesn't work. You have to take the bull by the horns.
Well, that's what they've done, though. Farmers built storage, and they said, we're going to put it in storage on our own farms, and we're going to leave it there until you pay us the price that we're willing to sell it for. Isn't that the hope they have in place at the moment?
Yeah, or until it gets to a price that we're so emotionally wrenched, we dump it.
Well, one of those two things. That's the battle that's taken place.
That's exactly right, Dan. And I've lived through those battles in the years I was in the feed mill business, mm-hmm. and also in these 18 years I've been doing this. And I'll tell you what, seldom have I seen the farmer be the winner. That's the bad part, you know, because. Yeah,
but seldom have you seen all farmers across the board in this position. Where most farmers have built. So we can talk more about it this afternoon because, frankly, I'm out of time.
Sounds like a deal to me. Okay.
Right. Hey, thank you.
Later.
Yep, that, of course, is Jackie Fake. She's with Stuart Peterson. Joins us on this mid-morning market report here from Illinois Public Media. This is WILL AM 580, WILL FM 90.9 HD3 Urbana. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. If you haven't picked up your tickets for the Farm Assets Conference, make this phone call right now. They're just $30. Our conversation we just had, one of the reasons you should be there in Normal on the 24th of this month.